Hey, welcome back to Joel Radio. Joel Fragamenti here with two guests today for your listening pleasure. We have Corey Hall.
Hey, everybody.
Who's our usual sit-in guy. And then John Tenney's here as well.
Hello, everybody.
Give me John some applause.
No, it's all right. I don't need him.
I like that ring. What is that ring?
It's a mood ring.
Is that a mood ring? Ring?
Did they sell that where you bought your energy drink?
No, I got this on a trip to Mackinac.
Oh, okay. Well, even better.
In 1988.
No, right. Like a month ago.
Recently. John went to Mackinac and bought a mood ring. They're still in fashion on Mackinac.
It was the only store that was open when I went there.
Yeah. They sell a lot of tchotchkes at that place.
Well, I mean, it's closed down right now.
Oh, you
Mackinac
mean the whole
City?
Island.
The
Mackinac
I mean the
island.
City, the city.
Mackinac City. You didn't go to the island. It was Mackinac City.
No, I don't think you could get to the island.
Oh, they don't run that ferry?
Oh, I went up there about a month ago and everything is closed.
Well, that's what our listeners want to hear is an update on Mackinac City.
Don't go.
Mackinac City, in case you aren't aware, is a hideous tourist trap. In which fat white people from suburban Detroit go up. And what you can do is I think there are 37 different vendors of fudge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But when I went there, I mean, I really went there a month ago, and it's closed. Like, it gets cold.
It's summertime.
And everyone goes away. Yeah.
And there was, like, one place
open. But I've
open.
Been there in the winter, yeah. And there's some stuff is open. Like, even the hotels are closed.
Yeah, there's one hotel part. That's open out of all the, like, there's, like, 300 hotels. Mm-hmm. But one is open, one fudge shop, one shop that sells mood rings, and a pizza place.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, because, you know, I go up to the UP in the winter to do comedy because I'm a big star.
Right.
And so I end up stopping in Mackinac sometimes, you know.
But this was the mood ring was the only thing they had of
well,
interest.
That's nice. What does that say about your mood
relaxed
right now?
Relaxed right now.
That's a dark blue?
It's relaxed.
It's relaxed.
Relaxed.
So we'll see as it changes throughout the show. We'll give our listeners updates.
I'm
on
a calm
the mood.
Person.
That really is a spectacular. There are some spectacular tourist traps up in northern Michigan. Mackinac is right where the lower and upper peninsulas meet.
Right.
The top of the mitten. And
And, it's
and
where...
we celebrate that with fudge, candy, candles are popular.
Mood rings. Mood rings.
And general tchotchkes.
Wicker furniture. Yeah. There's always some Indian theme, something, you know, tomahawk, rubber tomahawk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Stuff like that you can get up
I
there.
Went to,
Saint
on that
Ignis
same
is
trip,
big with that.
On that same trip, because my parents live in upper Michigan.
Okay.
About 2 hours away from Mackinac City. But Boy. About an hour away from
Are
where...
Are they in the UP?
No. They're in Alpena.
Okay.
Which is, if your hand is Michigan, it's the very top of your index finger.
There you go.
Okay.
But I stopped at a casino called Saguenay, which is in... It's outside of Standish, Michigan.
Okay.
Have you ever been to this place?
I've been to Standish, and I know where that is. I don't think I don't... It's is it relatively new, that
It's
casino?
A relatively new
yeah,
place, but it's bizarre because they're expecting there to be development at some point.
Uh-huh.
But nothing yet.
So right now, you turn off of a quasi-used-to-be major road onto a side street. You drive for 3 miles. Branches are hitting your car. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a casino.
There's a giant
casino. You're like, holy shit!
Yeah,
what the hell is
I've
going
been to
on
casinos
here?
That like that, and they're very sad.
800 Indians out front smoking
because
with everybody else's money.
Like when we do comedy in these places, like sometimes there's nobody in the casino. Like there's nobody, and it's really weird when a big casino is like empty. It's really kind of
this place
scary.
Was packed. But
oh, was it packed?
Yeah, but it's like 1,000 penny slot machines.
Yeah,
like there was one section where there's like dollar machines. And it's just a wasteland.
So they're not catering to the high rollers
no.
at this place. They want
no.
their
one of those casinos, one of those UP casinos that Joel and I have both done multiple times is called the Island.
The Island Resort.
Yet
casino.
It's not an island.
It's not well.
It's not even on the water.
The city is on the water. I guess that it's closest
but it,
to. But
it
yeah.
could be on the water, but right. it's not even on the
they
water.
They
want
to give you the feeling that you're in an island resort.
It's called the Island Resort, and it's got kind of like a Jimmy Buffett-y, like Bahamas
tropical
theme.
Theme. Yeah,
but it's in the middle of the Upper Peninsula.
it's by Escanaba, Michigan.
It's outside.
How do you guys do up there?
I mean, you do
not well.
You do. That casino sucks because of the way their room is set up.
Is it like dinner shows or something? Or?
It depends. Casino shows are in comedy are generally one of two shows. They're either the ballroom show, which is this could be like where, you know, they would have a big event. Not necessarily even like entertainment, but it would be like we would have a wedding or something right. like that. Some sort of reception. And they build a stage and they put you up there. Now, you could also do like the big theater shows. Generally, guys like me and Corey wouldn't do that. And then they have sort of their loser lounge comedy show, which that's what the one in Escanaba is. Now, where basically, you're playing in a bar that is open to the casino floor and people don't pay to get in.
Well, and with that one, the first couple times I did it, it was exactly like that. And there were like old ladies hitting the slots.
Right.
While you're like,
yeah, there's
just right over the edge of the bar.
Well, remember how
looking at
Club Bar was.
Right.
There was the stage behind the bar.
Right.
At the bar, there's people playing video poker.
Ew.
And you're performing to them. That's your front row of people. Yeah. Then beyond that, there's other people who just sort of come and go from the
tables of people kind of shuffle in and sort of watch the show. Yeah. But then they upgraded the showroom and they put the comedy in the showroom.
Yes.
And I went, oh, this will be better. But they put a glass roof on the showroom.
Right.
Well, that is the old pool in that building.
Right. And
they built a new pool, and where the old pool was, they built a
stage. But they turned it into a stage room.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fairly nice, and there was an actual stage. And
It was still open, but not as open.
Oh, good. But it was way better than doing it on the open floor in front of the bar.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, it's going to be much better. And it starts hailing during my set. It like 5 minutes into my set, it just starts downpouring hail, and it was just a thunderous racket, and nobody could hear me, and it was great.
Does it smell like cigarette smoke?
Completely smells like cigarette smoke. Has that been used on The Oddist or something?
For sure. Well, it's been in my house.
I'll make it smell nice. It's fine. You go. John has been has donated a new microphone. Actually, we swapped
mics.
But finally, John, you've had my mic for 9 or 10 months.
No.
Yeah.
When was the last time I was on?
9 or 10 months ago.
No, that's
I
not
say.
True.
I don't know.
Couldn't have been that long.
But anyway, John has given Corey a nice new AKG.
Sounds good.
Wait a second. Before we move off of the comedy topic.
Yes.
I am not, you know this, I am not a comedian.
No.
I have done stand-up three times. Three times. Here's, I got a thing that I've really been looking at the internet and watching TV. Uh-huh. And are you guys willing to tell me who is a good comedian and who's not,
Who specifically do you have a question about?
I have a couple of different people.
All right, go ahead. Give us names.
You can make, by the way,
and here's things, too, because I've been listening to some podcasts.
Okay.
So I don't know. I can't tell.
You can make this four if you come to Omar's tonight. And come over there, because it's the closest thing to Bart's.
I might do that. I might do that.
All right, well, go ahead.
All right, so here we go.
Give us
a name. I'll give you my opinion, and then I want yours.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
Okay, so... Well, first with podcast comedians.
Okay.
Right? I listen to a lot more.
I don't consider Joe Rogan a comedian.
No. Why not?
Okay.
I think that Joe Rogan is like a probably at one time like a jock who started smoking pot.
Yeah.
And then thinks that he's funny because he has friends that smoke pot and he's a little bit smarter than them.
So you're basing this on his podcast.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Well, Joe, do you want to go first, Corey?
I've
heard Joe's show, so I can.
I've heard Joe's show once or twice, and I've heard him on other people's shows. He's an interesting guy. He's not my favorite comic.
Right.
I've heard his stand up, and it is really less joke oriented than sort of.
It is. Yeah.
He tells a story. And he crinkles a lot of details in there, but that doesn't necessarily make it jokey. He's not my flavor.
So on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd give Joe Rogan a 5 or 6.
I like Joe. I mean, I don't listen to his show much, but I'm a fan of his. He does the UFC. He's the color character.
Right.
And I like that, which isn't funny necessarily.
Right.
But he definitely seems to get it. He seems to have a good sense of humor. I've heard him interview people. Like when he's had people on that I'm interested in, in his guests,
right.
I've tuned in. And I liked it, but it's not something I listen to every week. I think Joe's a guy that generally gets the respect of people who would be critics of comedy, but I don't think he's anybody's favorite guy. I don't think he puts him in that top tier. Right? Is that fair to say?
I think his
people don't think he's a hack or anything. I mean,
no,
I don't think
and I'm
people
sure
say
if
that.
I ever run into Joe Rogan and he heard this, he'd put me in the
put you in a heel hook or something.
Step over toe, guillotine.
That was why I asked if you guys would be willing to do this, because you might run into these people.
I might. Yeah, sure.
We do meet some people.
I'm actually planning. You know, I'm doing this new venture. I'll talk about it, but I'm doing my show that I do for Insane Clown Posse, which was called The Funhouse on WFuck Off Radio.
Right.
The whole station is now becoming a video show. It's going to be live on YouTube, and you know, there's a mandate that we up our level of guest, and I'm targeting Joe to be a guest on that show. So,
all right,
just because I know Joe has talked about Insane Clown Posse on his show, and so
okay, so
he's a guy that I like enough to talk to. Certainly, I think. But you'd
put him up higher than Corey.
I think maybe. But again, I think I like UFC, and Corey doesn't really follow it, so maybe I have a fan of that, Corey doesn't really follow it anymore. So.
Okay, number two.
Okay.
Bill Burr.
I think Bill Burr's a real funny guy.
He's
a stand-up.
I don't know. I mean, I know who he is. I think if I saw a picture of him, I'd know.
He's very Boston-y, and he's a Boston guy. I don't think he's as good as Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
That's who I'd probably...
Is that the same thing?
I'd put him in that genre, maybe.
Yeah.
He does Opie and Anthony a lot.
Okay.
Here's my thing. Guys could do Opie and Anthony, and they're great comics, but they go on that show, and it's just inside jokes and talking about each other, and I'm not entertained by it.
Okay, so Bill Burr, 1 to 10.
I would put him maybe a... If I gave Rogan a 5, I'd give him maybe a 6.
You like him more than Rogan?
I like him more than Rogan.
Okay, now here's the other one. I don't even know this guy's name.
Sure.
But I'll just tell you what he's known for.
Maybe a 7 for Bill Burr. I don't know.
Okay.
And then you'll know who I'm talking about.
No, 6. Let's go.
The guy from Parks and Rec.
Nick Offerman?
Couple guys on there.
Huh?
Nick Offerman?
No.
Aziz the mustache? On Siri.
Yeah, there you go.
Aziz on Siri. I haven't heard his podcast. Yeah. He's funny.
No, though. I don't think he has a... I don't even know if he has a podcast.
But just as a comedian? Well, I've never seen Aziz really do a long stand-up set.
I have.
He was in the movie Funny People.
Yeah.
And his stand-up was kind of the best stuff in that, I thought.
Because he does not seem funny to me.
They did a one-hour special of... They took everybody that was in the movie Funny People, and they did a special... Basically, the movie, when you see them all performing, they took them all and put them all in a theater and had them do a show.
Right.
And I thought he was the funniest guy on that.
Okay.
Which, again, that was Seth Rogen and Sandler and people doing comedy. And I thought, I like Aziz, but he has a certain style. He's, you know, he's the wannabe, you know, he's like a wannabe Jay-Z. That's kind of his gimmick.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And why are you... can I ask why you have questions about these comics and... Have you listened to their shows?
No, what just you know, I'm watching. I'm trying to in my older age now. I'm 40 now.
Oh, 40. Well,
40. I turned 40 very old, since the last podcast.
Oh, good.
Really? When was your birthday?
August 24th.
Oh, Christ!
All right.
So I turned 40, and I just realized there's different segments that I'm not paying attention to in society.
So I'm just
trying to pay a little bit more attention. To
don't
what,
worry.
What people are like.
No one's paying attention to certain things.
I'm just.
Well, you're saying you're not hip on who the cutting edge comedians are nowadays. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just trying to stay in the loop with some things.
Well, you got to start with Joel Radio. That's the top one.
Oh, I listen all
and
the time.
And then after
let's talk about
some guy named Charlie Carolla.
Or not Charlie Langston.
Mark
let's talk about what's his name?
I was on Charlie Langston.
No,
yesterday.
That's not who I meant, what? Though. I meant the Indian black guy.
Aziz Ansari.
No. I've moved off of comedians now because
Indian
I listen
black
because
guy?
I listen to Joel
well, wait,
Radio.
While we're on this, while we're
so
ranking
I'm talking comic- about the I'm talking about the Detroit News Channel 2 reporter Indian black guy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Roop Raj?
No, you just talked about him.
Charlie LaDuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Charlie LaDuff. How he's an Indian black. I know what you're saying. He wears a fringe jacket and he claims he's from New Orleans, but yeah.
No, he's Indian.
He's Indian how?
He belongs to one of the
tribe
up in northern Michigan.
Oh. Well, he's a nutcase. Yeah, we talked about him on the last show.
Yeah, I know you did. That's and why I wanted to bring it up. Now, good. You know about the scandal with him.
What is the scandal? Charlie LaDuff, tell us.
The Charlie LaDuff scandal is that he was all involved with that Jason Blair New York Times plagiarism
thing. Oh. In
Corey,
what
did
way?
Did you know that?
No. There
was some systemic problems at the New York Times,
sure,
with people writing stories and plagiarizing.
Blair was the writer, though, right?
He was the writer.
So what did Charlie do?
Charlie wrote a story about going down the Colorado River.
Okay.
which was from another guy's book in California. And then he came back on. He said, well, you know, I mentally lived the experience reading the book.
Right.
And now I'm going to leave the New York Times and come to Detroit.
So he was at the Times, you're saying, at one point.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Charlie, okay.
Yeah, that was like his first big job.
It says on the
wiki. And he won a Pulitzer Prize because he helped to write a book that won a Pulitzer Prize.
On the wiki, says Charlie Denuff is a Louisiana Creole and Ojibwe.
Yeah,
from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy. I wouldn't trust that guy, you know.
And the Metro Times wrote a story about him a couple years ago about how he was making up stories about Detroit and people freezing to death in elevator shafts. And
we got him interviewing Charles Pugh, and I thought it was real funny. I put the clip on the front page of Joel Radio.
He's a weird guy, Charlie Duff. I see him at the Emory.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hanging out.
I've never met the guy. I'd love to have him on this show.
He lives in like Pleasant Ridge or something.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have him on sometime and... Talk to Charlie.
While we're ranking podcast, we got
Corey still has comedian.
Right.
How about the Jay Moore show? Have you heard more stories?
I have heard more stories.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan of Jay Moore. So
I liked his podcast because it. I liked the stories that he told. On at least two of them were good, and then the other ones he brought his wife in.
Here's my problem with Moore stories.
Yeah.
I've given Jay Moore lots of chances.
As has America.
As an actor, as a comedian, as a person. And so when I listen to Moore stories,
right.
I was like, oh, I like this. I'm learning things about him. I'm learning about his personality. And episode after episode after episode, I kept learning the same stories.
That's the problem. The first time I listened to it was one about when he made the movie with Jennifer Aniston. The hell was the name of that movie?
It was Picture Perfect.
Picture Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. So he told a story about when he made Jerry Maguire and Picture Perfect around the same time. They were shooting simultaneously. And he told the whole story about getting cast, you know, how he was cast in the show, in the movie. And then he shows up on set and Jennifer Aniston hated his guts. And it was really funny. And then you realize he's going to tell that story again.
That's his claim to fame.
Or he's going to tell the story about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He had Dave Attell on, and I listened to that one because I like Dave Attell.
Okay.
And they talked about...
I've heard Jay Moore has a story where he's talking to Alec Baldwin about getting married.
Okay.
And Alec Baldwin is like, don't ever get married. Don't. I can tell you the direct quote. Don't. Why would you ever put your hand back in the food disposal, in the garbage disposal? The only reason I know that is because...
It's Baldwin, by the way.
That's tremendous. It's like he's here.
He's...
You want to play Words with Friends on your iPad?
Get out of here.
Okay. I'll allow that.
The only reason I know that is because Jay Moore has told that story five times. Five times.
Okay, so that's the thing. I've listened to Moore stories about four or five times, and he starts talking about SNL on every one of them.
Every single one of them.
And he was on SNL for 2 years.
Right.
And that's all he can talk about.
And his major, every time he talks about SNL, he talks about Rob Schneider.
Right, what a dick he is.
What a dick he is.
I enjoyed that. You know, I do enjoy that kind of inside baseball, but I do find... As a stand-up, Jay is not that impressive. He's largely responsible for popularizing the Christopher Walken impression, which so many guys do now.
Which I suffered through a guy doing it three times a couple
of
years
actually,
ago.
I think I like him better on it as a podcaster than I do as a comic. I like his impression. He does a great Dice.
Does he?
He does some...
He does good impressions.
He does do good impressions. He's a pretty good impression.
Yeah, I don't have much opinion on him.
But I mean, I think that
him.
Relegates you to a certain point that turns you into the new Rich Little.
He was on Leno. He came on Leno.
I saw him recently, yeah.
Big as a house.
Yeah, he's fat.
And he was wearing pajamas, it looked like.
Who?
I did, yeah. Jay Moore.
It appeared to be wearing pajamas. I swear to... I will see if I can find a picture.
Corey's
have you guys... you guys haven't done a show yet now that Patrice has died.
We have not said goodbye to Patrice O'Neill, but I didn't know Patrice personally. I have no, you know, I never worked with him, never met
him. What did you think of him as a comedian?
He's a very good comedian. I mean, I don't, he's not a guy that I never saw work, you know.
I'd seen his specials.
I think he was one of the guys that kind of broke out on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Right.
And, you know, he was great on that. I liked his Web Junk show that he had.
Yeah.
Was that on VH1, Web Junk?
I got to tell.
That was a good show.
Nigel Rosenblum and I, the former show attorney of the Corey and Joel Radio Show, we went to a wedding in Chicago, and we got high afterwards. We got high and crashed the wedding in the hotel.
Oy.
That was good. And until we were like, I wonder if these Mexicans are going to notice we're eating their cake. and they didn't, because it was a huge wedding.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got high and watched that show, and I might have laughed harder.
Web Junk?
That was one
web
of the hardest.
Good, yeah.
Not the Oprah segment on last year's Assholes of the Year might have been the hardest I ever laughed.
That was very good.
My heart stopped for about 20 seconds.
By the way, if I may plug, next show you'll hear from us is Assholes of the Year 2011.
Wow.
That is going to be the next show we do here on Joel Radio. What? So, where we start making their lists. And
I'll make my list for
sure. Go ahead, yeah.
I think it's very strange that Patrice was also on The Office. Yes.
Small role on The Office.
Yeah. Now, I am a conspiratorialist.
You are.
I think it's very bizarre over the 3, maybe 4 months before Patrice passed away
okay.
that everyone was concerned with Patrice's health.
Really? I don't know who everyone
Corey, did you
is.
Notice that?
You concerned for? I didn't know Patrice was sick.
You know what?
He had a stroke, and then he died 6 weeks after that. Right?
He did the Charlie Sheen roast, and there were a lot of jokes about his diabetes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Amy Schumer famously made a joke about, this isn't a roast, it's a funeral for Patrice's foot.
Okay.
And then from that point forward, there were all of these jokes about Patrice dying.
He's a big fact.
And everybody thought she was kind of out of line with that or whatever. And then, yeah, he had a stroke like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, so, I mean, if he's a guy that's sick and he weighs what he weighs.
Talk
and,
about conspiracy theories. I'll give you a new one.
So what is the theory? I don't even know what the theory is.
I don't know. That he knew that he was sick.
He might have known
and
he was sick.
And he was trying to warm people up
to
the idea
Corey's
that he was going to be gone.
That,
look at Jay Moore. Does that look like he's wearing pajamas?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I think what Corey's saying about.
He's wearing white jeans.
It's like pajamas.
White jeans and a linen shirt.
I think what Corey's saying
is
that
it's got like a string hanging off it. I think it's pajamas.
Enough about Jay Moore's pajamas. I think what Corey's saying is that maybe privately comedians knew that Patrice O'Neill was sick.
Right.
And then it was exploited on this roast, even though he didn't want it to be public knowledge.
We know that because we've been to roasts recently where private
stuff
information
comes out,
gets leaked on somebody.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's I could see where there is some.
In fact, something was said that
wasn't supposed to be said.
In fact, the last roast I went to, people dumped all kinds of dirty laundry on other comics.
Yeah, exactly.
And people got their feelings all bent out of shape and hurt, but that's their roast. Hmm.
So here's a conspiracy theory that is a real conspiracy.
Okay, real conspiracy now.
Now, I don't know if you watched the Country Music Awards.
We should say, do people know who you are, by the way?
Oh.
Because I bring you on, and we know you, and John's been on the show. He's been on Joel Radio and Corey Joel. Like
you are laboring under the
15-second 15-second clip of who I am.
Because I feel this is your real thing that you do. You don't sit around ranking comedians.
No.
So go ahead and tell everybody who you are, and then get into your...
Joel's using the notion that someone new is listening to this.
Go ahead, John. Just to refresh everybody.
He's living in that
Look,
world.
When they do Pawn Stars and the big fat baby toucher from the museum comes in.
Right.
They spend 10 seconds explaining who he is from the Clark County Museum.
The Clark County Museum guy comes in. They explain who he is every time.
And Sean with his antique weapons and armory. Every fucking it's a drinking game.
What is he, Hawkman?
I don't know.
He has a collection of antique weapons.
What does that apartment look like? What is that like?
He's got a mace from the you know.
Okay, but John, tell everybody who you are briefly and what you do, and then we'll move on.
My name is John.
Hi, John.
Will the secret guest please sign in? In upwards of 20 years, I've researched and lectured on paranormal, anomalistic, and conspiratorial phenomena.
Okay.
How's that?
Very good. Do you have any credits you'd like to give out?
No, not so much.
God forbid we plug anything that John does.
But please, don't sell yourself short, John. You are also a renaissance man.
I am a renaissance man.
You've done stand-up comedy 3 times.
I've done stand-up comedy 3 times.
You had an unsuccessful career in politics.
Unsuccessful career in politics. Yeah. Unsuccessful career in television.
Yeah.
Unsuccessful career in podcasting.
As a also as a entrepreneur and
unsuccessful
a business owner.
Business owner.
You've flopped at a lot of things, John. I don't want you to sell yourself short.
I have failed at more than most people will ever try to do.
Yeah, I've never tried any of those things aside from comedy.
Failed musician. Let's get it all in there.
I've been close a lot of times. This is
You were closer than most on the
last
one.
This is a funny conspiracy theory.
Okay.
So there are millions of country music awards. There's a country music awards, CMAs. And just recently there was the
Hillbillies love to give country, each other awards.
Country
they?
Association Awards.
Okay. Well, what channel was airing this?
That was on Fox 2 whatever.
Okay, so let's call it the Fox Network.
So Toby Keith gets Artist of the Decade. And the big guest to congratulate him on that is Stephen Colbert.
Okay. Wow, they were hard up for somebody in the...
Boy, he beat out Big and Rich? I can't
Here
believe it.
Here is the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
There are meandering thoughts that Toby Keith is a character like Stephen Colbert.
Oh.
You think it's an act?
According to who?
According to conspiracy theorists, Toby Keith is a smart comedian.
Yeah?
Who has created the character of Toby Keith...
Like the big fat Republican country singer.
Or like Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh.
Or Colbert, right. the host of the Colbert Report.
Colbert's a real guy, but his show, he does the show. So
and that's
character.
What the conspiracy is, that Toby Keith is not kick your ass back to Vietnam and the towel head gooks and knock them down.
Well,
that's a
great song.
Yeah, that's a good one, John.
That's
and
a character.
And John's a failed musician.
That's a character. Yeah,
right. He would know bad
Well, music. You don't read in a book. How to kill a spook over gook.
Right.
You got to get your hands dirty. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
You know what? I've never heard that conspiracy theory, and I know so little of Toby Keith's career because I so
but
don't
I've often said,
Doesn't it seem like a thing? Doesn't it seem like a possibility?
But I've often said country radio for me is like the witness protection program. If you want to keep someone for my attention, make them a country music star, and I won't know from anything.
Here's an argument, John, that style of music.
Right.
Has gone so that to make it in that style of music, you so have to kowtow to what people want that what happens is it's sort of like what hair metal was in the 80s, that you get further and further exaggerated versions of
right.
where country music artists maybe would sing about patriotism in the past, and then it escalates, and you know, people were singing about having a good time and drinking beer. It gets to now where Toby Keith has his own song, and then a bar
right.
opens up based on the song, I think that's the guy who has it.
Yeah.
And it just gets to sort of these ridiculous heights because it's so far removed from the original version that it's like...
God, I hope it's a joke.
A duplicate of a duplicate. And then you can't tell it from...
I just really hope
it would be a joke. Great if it was a joke. Some people said, more than one person has said, Rachel Maddow said it, and a couple other people proposed it in blogs, that Herman Cain...
Was
his
a joke?
Whole campaign was like a joke, was like some kind of a stunt.
That guy
quoted,
was a disaster.
By the way, he quoted Pokemon in a speech.
That guy was a disaster.
I know
it was Pokemon that said it.
No, but he did it. He did it first. He used the Pokemon theme song for the Pokemon movie as a speech.
As a quote.
Right. And he used the quote in
and
a
they
speech.
Caught
and
him.
Said, a great poet once said, and then he quoted song from the Pokemon movie, and then people caught him on it, so the last time he mentioned that it came from Pokemon. But he quoted a Pokemon song.
Man, that field of Republican candidates is just a disaster.
John, I've been nothing but scream about that on the show.
It's a disaster.
Here's my feeling. Okay. If Obama was the super popular president, then, you know, you don't run your best guy against him.
Right.
You get some Lou, you get some joke candidate, and you just throw him out there to be cannon fodder for this populist president that's, you know,
right.
But we don't have
like,
that.
Well, like
we got a president that has, you know, a 40% approval rating right now.
Like in 96, they reeled out Bob Dole.
Exactly.
No one thought he was going to be
exactly.
Clinton.
Right.
And, you know, my feeling is I honestly feel like almost anybody in the world could beat Obama in the general election next year, except for the guys that are running against
so bad.
And the Republican side. There's just... Everyone's just a boob. I mean, was it a thing that people were so afraid of Obama that people didn't want to run this year? Is it something that... I mean, let me just mention this, too, and then I'll let you answer. I was watching The View the other day.
Oh, God.
And Elizabeth, that dummy,
yeah.
said that her high hopes are for... are in 2016 because Rubio and some other guy are going to run. And I'm like... What kind of world do you live in that, like, you can't beat Obama? I know the guys there can't beat him, but...
It seems to me...
You'd think Romney has a chance,
It
no?
really seems to me like the... I don't know how this is going to come out. The candidates and the people who are in positions of power in the Republican Party, mm-hmm. in the Republican Party, are and have been a long line now of pretty wealthy people.
Okay.
And sure. I think that...
is working against them finally.
I think that people who are wealthy and have been wealthy for a long time and come from wealthy families, mm-hmm. I think that it used to be before the advent of modern media and technology, I think they all did a lot of fucking coke and fucked a lot of people. I don't think that I don't think the Republicans yeah. have anybody that they can put up now and say
okay, because fairness, Kennedy did that too.
But I'm saying
but he didn't get covered.
But the media wasn't the same.
That's what I'm saying.
Point.
The media wasn't the same. You used to be a rich guy and you could, you know, fuck underage chicks right. and do coke and yeah. get away with it. And that was fine because you know, the story would run in the Sac B, yeah. and then maybe it got picked up in the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yeah.
Now, so, you know, it's everywhere
got Charlie
all the time.
Charlie the Duff and more stories right. and all this media.
But see, what's interesting is these people still run. Like, okay, the mayor of Troy is under a lot of heat right now.
For the gay
for bashing gays.
Tell everybody what she did, because this is not a national story.
No, it kind of it's starting to be.
All right, well, go ahead and give the story, because Corey's on the ground floor of this one.
No, the newly elected mayor of Troy, I went to the meeting.
He went to the meeting, that's what I mean.
I know, Joel was shocked that I would participate in democracy.
Did you go to the protest on Monday?
I went to the city council meeting.
Oh, okay.
Which was, they protested until the camera crews left.
Right.
Because it was snowing.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, protest starts at 5:45 and ends at 6:35 when the camera crews are on. But anyway, so I went to the city council meeting, and I live in Troy, and I live around the block. So I went, you know, it's 4 minutes from my house to go to the city hall. So I went over there, and there were 55 people lined up to talk before I got there. Then another 25 signed up.
Say everybody what everybody's upset about, though.
She had posted on Facebook the following quote. She's like, I'm going to throw out my I Love New York bag because they let the queers get married there. So people were upset with her and all the gay alliance groups and all the, but you know, the people who showed up, they were not all, it was not all softball teams. Although prominent gay comedian that we know was
there. She was there, of course.
I can't believe she showed up, but
she wasn't.
I don't think she lives in Troy, but I don't know. Anyway, people were all upset with her. But the thing is, the mayor at no point seemed to get why they were mad at her. She said, well, I'm sorry I used a bad word.
Yeah.
Basically, right. That was her defense. She gave the non-apology. And I think what's happening with some of these candidates, you're right. They don't really. Herman Cain at no point figured he was going to get caught for doing all the shit that he'd done his whole life.
and thought that if he did get caught, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you see, that would dissuade some people from, if they had settled out-of-court settlements on sexual harassment cases in the mm-hmm. past, they would probably go, I'm probably not going to be able to run
yeah,
for office.
Yeah, probably would stop
him. But it didn't stop him at all. It didn't
well,
slow him
down. Well, because his ego's out of control. You can do everything else. Yeah, and nobody cares.
I mean, well, Newt Gingrich.
But you guys know this as well as I do, that Herman Cain was put up because he's a black guy.
Well,
You know that,
it's
right?
It's double secret plus racism. But, because they go, we're not racist. We got a black guy. Well, and in fact, our black guy's blacker than your guy.
Well,
he likes white women and he wears double-breasted suits.
I agree.
And then they didn't really support him, but they were like, well, we got one. Look, see, it's like saying, and by the way, the mayor was like, well, I have a gay friend. That was what she said in Troy.
Well,
it's always the, I have a black friend.
In the case of Cain was a rich guy who, you know, when you're rich enough, you can make yourself a player in presidential politics just by having the money to run. You know what I mean? That's the reason people don't run for president. And why is it always rich guys? Because it costs money. And initially, when people don't know who you are, you put up the money yourself. Unless you're a governor or something where you don't have to be rich to run, and then you can run from that platform.
Not to mention, there must be a much smaller pool of successful black Republicans pick from. And Michael Steele wasn't going to run.
But it's not like he was chosen. But you guys are acting like somebody chose Cain for something. Cain's hasn't been chosen by anybody for anything.
No, but I think he was advanced to run for president.
I understand what you're saying.
Certain money interests.
Sure.
Money
yeah, the party, the national party considered him a candidate because he was known well enough or something.
Some people put money up for him to run.
Okay.
Do you guys think that college kids really understand that Ron Paul doesn't want them to get college grants and loans?
I just saw two Ron Paul signs.
I can't believe his college support.
You know,
because every kid in fucking college has got a government grant or a government loan.
Yeah.
And they're like, Ron Paul's the greatest thing in the world. And it's like, you're going to have to pay for your fucking college.
There's always one guy that the youth sort of supports or is big on college campuses. Like Jerry Brown was kind of that in 92 and stuff. And people just don't know. They don't care. People don't care. Yeah.
I think the thing with Ron Paul is he says some things that make sense to people. Uh-huh. He wants to get out of the wars. He wants to stop the wars. And people go, that's great. And he says, oh, I think we should have our freedoms and everybody should have their own freedoms. But then when you really look at his policies, and you're right, he wants to essentially dismantle government as we know it.
Yeah.
Then people, but they don't get that. They don't get the correlation. He's a purist with no
socialist programs whatsoever.
He's an extremist.
And when people are like, I hate shows. I don't want this country to be socialistic. It's like, you just took your mail out of your mailbox.
Yeah.
Like, that's a social program.
Tell me about the mail. Let me just
quickly, and then we'll move out of politics, because this is boring me and I'm sure everyone else.
All right.
The problem with people who run for president is this, and Ron Paul gets all this support. They promise things that the president does not have the power to do.
Absolutely.
And the people don't realize the way the government works. The president is only a third of the government. He is only a third of, you know, Congress and then whatever you pass has to be approved by or if it is challenged by the Supreme Court can get shot down. So, you know, you can't go ahead and say, I'm going to dismantle this. Herman Cain's not going to change the tax code by, you know, with the stroke of a pen. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter. Like, you just, it's not an issue. Don't bring up what you're going to change taxes to. Well, you're going to change taxes to whatever Congress allows you to change them to, dummy. And you know.
The other big problem is that if Obama was as progressive as any of these candidates are conservative, he never would have gotten elected. The problem is that the GOP has really been tugged hard right by the Tea Party. They all moved way far to the right to an almost unelectable extremity. There is no such the most moderate guy they have running is John Huntsman, and they would act like John Huntsman was the 200-pound girl at the end of the bar that they wouldn't want to pick up. You know, like
he moved to New Orleans.
Exactly.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? No, you know what I mean? Like, the Huntsman is like the
John just got it, but
you know
thank you.
No, I got it.
Huntsman's the semi-attractive girl, and after her friends have all left, you go, well, maybe I'll take her home. But they won't even look at him,
right? Yeah,
because he's a moderate Republican, which used to exist.
Well,
but now they're very far right, and guys like Rick Perry are far right, and they're popular in their own little world.
Yeah.
But they're not popular in a broad enough fashion.
These guys, they got to look at the the Republicans got to realize there's a general fucking election.
Hardcore right
in less than a year.
Right.
Figure out who can run, support that guy. Because, yeah, you can push one of these guys through to go to the convention and get the nomination, but they're going to get creamed in the general. Why do they even bother? Right.
It's going to be Romney.
Hey,
how it come is going to be. But that's what it is. Here's the thing. They're like passing the conch shell around, and everyone gets to hold it and be the number one lead dog for a while, and they go, okay, Rick Perry, you've had it. Here, give it to Herman Cain. All right, Herman Cain,
well,
fuck you.
They're setting
give it to Gingrich
up,
for a while.
That's because they're
all
going to
get their chance, and then they're all, and it's going to end up giving it to Romney.
Do you remember who won?
Because if Romney was elected, after because he's going to be nominated.
He will be nominated.
And if he were elected,
he's got a chance of being elected. Not a great chance, but a chance.
Right. And the reason they passed the conch shell around, as you so accurately put it, is so that he can that his cabinet members are recognized by America.
Okay. Well,
you know what I mean? They can say, like,
I hope his cabinet isn't Newt Gingrich.
That's his
goddamn
cabinet.
Herman Cain.
Yes, that's his cabinet.
For fuck's sake.
That's why they do this, so that the name gets in your brain, and you go, oh, that was that guy. He ran for president one time.
But these guys are a bunch of
and you don't
of
remember
boobs.
That
these
it was a month ago. Okay, I'm switching subjects. How come the mail, people haven't gotten it to fucking together with the mail?
The mail's
We've
done.
Had the mail for 150 fucking years.
Well, here's...
The people who have the most problem with it are the people who've been doing it the longest.
Yeah.
There was an 80-year-old woman who couldn't figure out stamps at the post office.
You're right about that. Well, here's the thing. The post office is claiming they're losing money.
Yeah, they're not going to do one-day guarantees.
I'm gonna propose on your theory about old people. They never knew how to use the post office. That's my... You're like, they've been doing it forever, but I don't think they ever figured it out.
Well, here's my thing with the post... they're saying, well, people aren't sending letters. The mail is down 50%. The volume is down 50%. And I'm going, so why are you losing money? You're doing less work? Wouldn't you be losing money? I mean, you know what I mean? Isn't it sort of like, weren't these cuts supposed to, was it,
right.
Is the problem that they were supposed to have made cuts over the years, but because these people are government employees, they couldn't cut them, couldn't close post offices, they couldn't lay people off? Is that why?
If you look at the, this is what, when you say they're losing money.
Right.
I could have brought papers with me, but that's even more boring.
Yeah, we don't need that.
The amount of personal mail that is sent out has been on a slow slide for about 10 years.
Okay, yes.
Okay? The amount of large packages that are sent has been on an increase.
It's on an increase.
For 10 years.
Why is that?
Because of things like Amazon.
Oh, online shopping.
eBay.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I get that.
Overstock.com.
Yeah.
So people are sending less mail. When they say people are sending less mail, they're talking about personal letters.
Okay.
What they're not telling you is that there's a guy standing in front of me today at the post office with two big white boxes, and in each box is 75 CDs.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. And he's sending them all out today, and he's sending them all out in two-day mail.
And that is MC Sampler sending out his album.
No, how many did you say? Two dozen? It can't be him. No.
No.
It's no possible.
You're absolutely right, though, because it's the post office operates on weight.
Yeah.
And letters statistically weigh less and so are less expensive.
Less. They're losing money because nobody's sending 30 cent letters anymore.
They're 44 cents.
Everybody's sending these $6, $7 pieces of mail.
Well, why
but, see, but here's the crazy thing. The post office doesn't make sense to begin with, because if I go, hey, John, I'd like you to take this package of Kleenex to Pocatello, Iowa, and can you get it there by Friday morning? How much would you charge me for that?
$1 million.
I know. And I'm going to, I'd like this to be
but that's why I'm in
Pine Bluff, Colorado tomorrow.
But that's
morning,
why I love the
post
office.
And they put 44 cents on the fucking thing.
But that's why I love the post office.
How does that business model make sense?
They're working off volume.
Right. And I love the post office because when people get pissed off in line because they've been in the post office for 15 minutes and they're like, it's taken too fucking long.
Yeah.
No. I'm like, no. Your package is going to England and will be there in 2 days.
Yeah.
15 minutes is not a long time.
It's a goddamned miracle. I can send something to Sean Stone in Stuttgart, Germany tomorrow, and he'll get it by Saturday.
And it will be thrown away by Monday.
Well, I mean, what's the solution then? Is the solution to charge more
speaking
for the packaging?
Speaking of stuff to throw away.
Well,
okay,
we'll get to that
next. Because it operates on weight, and the fuel prices are...
John's handing out Christmas gifts. So
the fuel prices are going up, and the you're right, the amount of mail... Well, a lot of people also do online banking, and they get their checks
so that's
deposited.
a lot of the checks
so
are not being
So a lot of that
mailed,
traffic is gone.
Bills are not being mailed like they used to be.
But so
it doesn't help John, who stood in line today to mail God knows.
And then left.
But to me, I would say if I was Amazon or if I was, any online retailer, any of these people, I would be upset that the post office was going to cancel first class
mailing. Well, Netflix sends out their discs and they say you'll get them the next day.
Yeah.
And right. I generally get my disc the next day.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the post office, when the post office works, it's an amazing, amazing thing that we as human beings have put together to be able to communicate in that fashion.
Yeah.
But when it doesn't work, it's the worst.
Should we privatize it? Should we sell stock in it and have an IPO?
No.
It's not going
to
work.
I'll tell you why you shouldn't, because I had to try and track down something at FedEx the other day.
Okay.
And that was fucked up.
Yeah, good luck.
I believe.
Good luck. Yeah.
People always act like privatizing is going to fix everything.
What's what some people say?
It really doesn't. In every case. Not every case. Look, I don't want the government making chocolate bars. There's things that are certainly for the private industry to do. But not everything, the immediate answer is privatization. It doesn't always work that way.
Merry Christmas, you two.
All right, well, we got Christmas presents from John. Let me just shake
get
this.
Get all political, John. Is it a book?
I think those are the right ones. I think I gave you guys the right boxes.
Oh, you mean like Corey's and mine are different?
Yeah, they are different.
Oh.
They were specifically chosen. These are prizes specifically chosen just for you.
Well, you got these boxes, which I'm guessing you got at Saks Fifth Avenue. Would that be accurate?
Yes, those are Macy's.
These are. I think I ripped it.
Are you using a cat toenail clippers
that
over
is,
there?
That's exactly what that is. My cat died 4 months ago. But
I'm sorry about that.
That's not Joel.
What do you got?
The cat went to a farm.
The cat is gone.
I'm sorry.
I'm
going to
let Corey open first.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, my cat ran.
I don't know. I might not be able to get it open first. So
all right, well, maybe I'll go first.
John used impenetrable tape. This tape is made out of unstable molecules.
I like this. I like it already. I had a little peek.
All right, Joel's into his first.
All right.
Corey's into his first.
Oh, it's a goodie bag.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Corey's into his first. What do you got, Corey?
It's a stocking stuffer.
Go ahead, Corey.
Well, I've got some lifesavers. 8 gummy flavored lifesavers. Yeah. That's exciting.
Some of you guys got some similar things.
I see that.
I got some excellent toe warmers.
Oh, toe warmers. Well,
these are hot hands. Toasty toes, toe warmers.
If Corey gets cold sitting in the movie theater,
that's right.
Is that what
that's
those
what
are
I
for?
Thought. That's what I was. That's what I was thinking.
What did you just glue this onto your toe?
I don't know how they work. It's magic.
Is that one thing you break and you put it in your?
And then what else do you got there, Corey?
I got an excellent little robot.
That's right, a light up robot.
I got a nice little robot.
It's a nice one to put on your shelf.
And I got a whoopee cushion.
That's always a good whoopee cushion. Always fun.
Well, let me.
Wait, you're not done.
There's more. But wait, there's more.
I want to see what Joel's got.
Well. I got. Looks like I have similar stuff to you. I also have a bag of. Is this geld or is this just
yes. chocolate gold coins?
These aren't just specific Jewish ones.
I don't know.
Gold chocolate coins. I think I also have the Topps WWE cards.
Nice, I do.
There you go. You guys can trade those later.
I don't have whoopee cushion, but I have chattering teeth.
That's right.
Which really need to go immediately out on the airwaves.
That's a classic.
The show can't move forward until they hear the.
That
chattering
is a classic.
Teeth. I got. I don't know why do I have liquid.
That's for your
skin,
the next time you bust your lip
skin
open.
Skin protecting. Oh, that's right. I did cut my lip.
All right.
Liquid skin. Okay.
That's a very thoughtful gift, John.
People play guitar use liquid.
Yes, they do.
I don't play guitar. I have the C-3PO Pez dispenser,
and I have the R2-D2.
Oh well, that's because we're a little team.
That's right. That's like nice. That's how I figured that.
I guess
out.
I'm the tall, effeminate one.
You're
of the two.
You're the tall.
And Corey's the short, cute
you're,
one.
You're the tall. Listen, you're the tall.
I'm actually taller than
you. You're the tall, annoying one.
Oh,
he's the roundish one. I don't ever understand.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Well, all right. Makes sense.
And I have gummy lifesavers, and then I have something that I can't share with anyone on the air as to what this is. This is a secret that we only we may only that I'm not allowed to share.
That's right.
We are part of a brotherhood and
we
what's
are.
The secret.
What year are these? Oh wow, they're 2011. Because I've got
let everybody hear the chattering teeth, please, if we may. I think they work best on the tabletop or something.
Yeah.
There they go.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow, those
the comedy
good.
Classic, the chattering teeth.
There you go. Those happy birth good. Or Merry Christmas. Guys.
Thank you.
You know what? If we still had Bart, you could tell guys they were off with that.
This is the
this
light
is the rap light.
Go in the back of the room and hold up the chattering teeth.
And now my WWE cards.
Who do you
I've
got
in
WWE?
I've got Papa Shango.
Oh, you got it. Is that a classic or is this a?
Well, it's
are these considered contemporary? It says 2011, but
yeah, I guess Papa Shango is still around.
Is he?
Tamina? I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
The ever popular Gold Dust. Okay. That's a nice card. Look
you
at that.
Got some loser cards, dude.
And I got Titus O'Neil. I don't know who that is, but
okay. I have Ranjan Singh, who I think is the great Kali's manager.
Okay,
Mason Ryan, who is kind of the new Batista. He's a big muscle guy.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky Guerrero, who is Eddie Guerrero's wife. Who
wow,
they felt bad about, so they gave her a job after his heart exploded on the road
nice.
For WWE. Oh, I have Road Warrior Animal. There's the big prize right there.
That might
there.
Be the best card.
That
I think
is,
Gold
think
Dust and
Gold
Road
Dust,
Warrior Amateur.
Sure.
They're the
Gold
two big
Dust
stars.
Is good, but
Gold Dust is a good
Road
one.
Road Warrior Animal is
well, thank you, John. This is a wonderful
right
stocking
there.
Stuff.
Well, let's not let the Christmas spirit end there. There are more gifts. Corey didn't even know this. There are more
really?
Gifts. More gifts.
I didn't get anybody anything.
No, John's not getting shit, but we got gifts from our fans.
Oh,
whoa,
really?
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Did it come by the post office?
It did. I think this actually took more than one post office.
By
to
the
get
way,
here.
Get in the passport line if you really want a disaster at the post.
Oh my God!
Not everyone can hear me, but here, Corey, I want to get your gift for you.
Okay.
This is I got one too, but this is for Corey Hall.
Wow!
A giant 3-box Santa
wow.
box of Toffee Fae, and you can read
holy
the
mackerel.
Read the cover.
Holy smokes!
And here is mine. I got the
wow.
the Frosty the Snowman version of the same gift.
Wow!
That's pretty nice.
And it says, Merry Christmas, Joel. And this is from Cam, Corey. That's what it says on
that
the
front. That is an amazing gift
Cam.
Of the wonderful Toffee Fae.
The gift of Toffee
from
Fae.
From our friend in the Yukon.
And these
and
are
in the spirit of giving, There's one for John Tenney.
John Tenney gets a toffee fay. All right, John. There you go.
These are too good.
These are good. They're too good for kids.
Kids can fuck right off when it comes to toffee fay.
Yeah, crack those toffee fay, John.
But I'm cracking.
I want to thank Cam for his generosity this Christmas season. Yeah. Yes, of course I'll have a toffee fay, John.
Oh, boom.
You need not ask more than once. I gladly have a toffee fay. All right.
Boom goes the dynamite. All
Toffee
right.
Faye, a really old meme sort of on this show, I guess you could say, right?
It is, yes.
An old joke.
It is.
Corey showed up one day with Toffee Faye, and I went like, how old are you? And then from then on, we had Toffee Faye for years and years.
Mm-hmm,
not anymore. Well, I'm going to eat mine when you guys are done.
Weirdlectures.com. So there, I plugged something.
Weirdlectures.com. That's where you can find John.
Realmoftheweird.com starts second season.
Mm-hmm. That's where you tell stories? Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's where I tell weird, ghosty, UFO, spooky stories.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll check those out.
And John, are you appearing live anywhere in a convention or something?
We haven't talked about this yet. You guys might have heard about this through other channels.
Okay.
I had a Halloween lecture.
Okay.
At the Lager House.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds like a place where no one wants to pay attention, if you ask
on
me.
Halloween.
Even worse.
A Monday night.
Okay.
So before I go to the lecture, I went to Gasoline Alley to have a drink. Mm-hmm. That's one of the last things I remember.
Oh, wow.
Someone slipped me something at Gasoline Alley.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the next coherent memory that I have is the former bartender of Club Bart, Melissa.
Oh.
Who now works at the Lager House.
Okay.
And booked me for that Halloween lecture.
Yeah.
Tenderly sponging your nuts.
She had a sponge. Pulling me off.
That'd be a good story, though.
Pulling me off the stage as I am screaming at the top of my lungs at everyone there about how they're going to fucking die.
That's a weird lecture right there.
The next memory I have is waking up in my house the next day.
Wow.
And that's it.
Interesting.
Spectacular.
What do we think happened? You think you were spiked?
I was. I absolutely was.
And who would do such a thing?
There were three people in Gus's, two that I knew, and one that I did not know, who I'm pretty sure was the person who slipped something in my drink. It was a girl.
A girl?
Yes. I got up. I went outside and smoked. I came back, sat down, drank my drink, and remember her leaving. Right after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, a girl put something in your drink.
Yeah.
Has it come to that in America?
It has come to that.
I want it to go back to the old ways where we put stuff in girls' drinks.
Yeah.
No, I'm good with the new way. I'm good with that. And then she left without
you. So you made it to the lecture and you gave some sort of lecture,
something,
right?
Something.
But it wasn't what you were planned on.
I don't remember.
You didn't plan on yelling, "You're all going to die."
The next day, my girlfriend was like, "What was wrong with you?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "You called me and you told me that you were at a Tubby's hanging out with your elementary school friends."
All right. And that wasn't true.
And I looked, and I had called her like four or five times. I'm like, did we talk each time? She's like, oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, you were just talking. She's like, I thought you were just drunk. She's like, but I couldn't figure out how drunk you were because I couldn't understand anything you were saying.
This is like the real life hangover, John.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You didn't wake up with a baby or anything?
No. Okay. No, one time
Because that's funny when that happens.
Yeah.
Did you have Mike Tyson's tiger in your bathroom? None of that?
None of that.
No.
Very weird.
Small Asian man.
Yeah.
Face tattoo.
It's funnier when it happens in Vegas than when it happened in Bangkok.
It was scary.
Anyway.
It
sounds terrible. I would hate for someone to do that to me. Would hate that.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I deal with these juggalos all the time. You know, you ever hear about these juggalos?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll give you weed with stuff in it.
Oh, for sure.
And you always got to ask them and say, hey, look, fucker.
So wait, she drugged you and then left?
Don't give me anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's the motivation in that? I don't know. Mm-mm-mm. People are not...
Your girlfriend with you when you got
drugged?
Nope. Oh, okay.
No, and I was at Gus's when this happened. Here's the thing. I talked to a couple of people who have females who have been slipped stuff.
Okay.
And I was at Gus's about 5.
5 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I had to be at the Lager House at like 9.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. The girls,
that's a long way to go, so you must have been in decent shape when you got to the locker.
The girls asked me, they said, do you remember, like, a lot about Gus's?
Yeah.
And I said, no, because I guess these, like, these roofies and stuff, they backtrack your memory.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you take it, you're functioning for a while.
You were fine to drive to the logger house.
Right, but then
and
when
even
it kicks
to perform,
in,
yeah.
Yeah, and then when it kicks in, you start to lose your memory. That way you can't remember
that's
who gave
exactly
it to you.
That's exactly what the hangover is.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, so I've
it was
done,
fucked
I've
up.
Done
I just remember I
I'm
apologized to anybody that was at the logger house.
I
remember screaming at someone like, you are going to fucking die. I am fucking on stage.
Wow.
And then Melissa, like, taking my hand and pulling me off the stage.
Huh.
You know, I'm taking some psychotropics, and I might have kind of a confused memory of what I did, but
right.
I have a memory. Like, I've never had just an ellipse where I just forget
what happened.
Yeah,
that's an odd, it's a weird thing, man. Well, I'm glad you're okay. You could have died in a car crash.
Yeah, for sure. I was driving around.
Yeah, it's terrible.
As a matter of fact, that night,
you're lucky you drove through Detroit where no people are.
That night,
you might have hit somebody.
I put 79 miles on my car.
And you live, what, 12, 13 miles
from Detroit.
Yeah, so who knows where you went?
I don't have no idea.
Maybe you were delivering Tubby submarines at one point
Maybe.
In the evening, you know.
Wow.
Wow.
79 miles.
You know who did it, John?
I don't want to know.
CIA.
No.
Yeah, are you worried that somebody that you've lectured about might you might have enemies?
No.
You're not worried about having enemies?
No.
Hmm.
No, I'm not worried about the government killing me.
You're not.
Or ghosts following me home.
No.
Or being possessed by a demon or abducted by an alien. Which actually makes me kind of like a pariah
yeah.
to the other researchers.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Because they've all at one time or another been abducted, possessed, or held, you know, in a secret government facility.
Of course they have, yeah. That's how you get credibility.
Yeah, that's how you sell books,
uh-huh.
and that's how you get on TV.
Yeah. Well, you've been dosed now. That's something.
That happened to me before,
that's
years ago.
You were dosed before.
Joel, oh, yeah.
Joel, do you have any rubber gloves?
I don't think so. Why?
I want to check John's ass and see if he's been probed. I want to check and make sure the aliens have not been
Corey
in there.
Has never just come right out and said that he wanted to do that.
Well,
it's always,
you know,
just been implied for years.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, well, look, I thought it was just sort of a known. I mean,
yeah.
I just thought it was out there, like, you know, whatever.
Well, John, I'm sorry to hear that, but if we know, anyone knows, if anyone has any information, please feel free to call 610-552-0746. Is that the number? I'm doing it from memory because I've covered up. Yeah,
610-552-0746.
That is the douchebag hotline. And you can
and
leave
while,
your
you're, while you're at it,
message.
And whoever did this to John would qualify, please leave your nominees for Asshole of the Year.
Yeah, please. We're going to do our show.
No, we just pick. You just pick assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just pick people that, yeah, excelled at the art of assholery for 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And in meaning that people that are, you know, just jerks, did bad things. But not all of it is always like, you know, people who committed crimes. I mean, it's also have people who
no.
maybe made a bad movie or bad music.
My number
something.
One last year was Oprah.
Yeah, he had Oprah. Although Oprah was retiring and it was fine. But I always like to say that
what was
you
your number
the
one
asshole of the year?
Year?
My asshole of the year last year was, in fact, why don't I just pull up my full list from last year? I was on
okay. The Oprah conversation dominated everything.
Well, we had a lot of fun talking about Oprah. And I think your point with that was that she making too big of a deal about her leaving.
It was a year-long orgy of
okay,
Oprah.
My asshole of the year last year was LeBron James.
Oh, that's nice.
And that was because, you know, he made a big deal out of leaving and everyone
right.
hated him.
Right.
And I just thought he was an ass. It was a classic asshole move. To have this TV show where you announce where you're going and that pisses off all the fans in your
right.
home state, it just it makes sense.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say that this year someone like Conrad Murray
yeah, sure.
would be a candidate.
I had Conrad Murray last year.
Yeah.
No, I had him 2 years ago when I did Assholes of the Year because that was the year he actually killed Michael Jackson.
Right.
So for me, I feel like Conrad Murray
is past his prime.
The asshole act that he really did happened 2 years ago when he killed Michael J. Do you want to hear my resume? 2010, I had Shannon Price, Gary Coleman's ex-wife.
Ooh, she,
remember she called 911.
Wow, yeah.
And he was bleeding to death and she refused to tend to him and he died.
For sure.
Okay, so that was last year. Then I had Tony Hayward from BP for the oil spill.
Right.
See, the problem is I don't even remember these people anymore.
They're all we did it on the show. You can go back and listen, but Jim Joyce, who was the umpire who blew the perfect game in the Tigers.
Oh, right.
Remember the guy? He threw him out at first and he said he was safe and he was really out. You know, Boise State, I mean, some of these were comedy. Boise State football. You don't have nothing about, you don't know anything about that. Okay. Erin Andrews, do you know what she did? She was the reporter that was, the guy took naked videos of her.
No
she was
idea.
On ESPN and he put a camera in her peephole.
No idea.
But I called her the asshole because she exploited that for greater fame. She claimed to be a victim and yet went on every show and became.
Charlie LaDuff on your list?
Charlie Duff is on. He could be on.
Jimmy Doom?
Greg, Jimmy Doom?
Greg Giraldo, who killed himself with drugs, was the asshole of the year. Christina Aguilera got fat while promoting burlesque.
Oh, right.
So I considered that.
Bobby Bain.
Was Greg Giraldo funny?
He was. Very funny, yes. And I did work really with funny. Greg, and as Corey did, and we thought Greg was great, yeah.
Greg was really funny when he wasn't high.
Yeah.
I saw him work high, and he was a mess. And
well, that was memorable. It wasn't funny.
Right,
but,
right. Yeah. He exploded, and then the next night he came in and he apologized and was straight.
Are you guys was the type of people funny. With...
I also had the Chilean miners on last year's list.
What a bunch of assholes.
Exactly. So anyway.
Douches.
Do you, are you guys, you know, I feel bad at the passing of any human being. God bless, Sherman T. Potter.
Harry Morgan died. Harry Morgan is a great example of someone I was sure was dead already.
Yeah, that's what happened.
But I when you're tend 96. To feel, you know, I don't mean to diminish anyone's death.
Sure.
But I tend to not, when someone kills themselves with drugs or alcohol.
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, we put him on Asshole of the Year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Greg Giraldo was one of the assholes of the year.
But you know what I mean? Like, whenever anybody says, like,
who OD'd this year, Corey? Who do we put on that?
Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse, I guess, yeah.
She was an OD.
She could be considered. Heath Ledger, you know, you could have said him whenever you're here.
But whenever anybody kills themselves in that manner.
Yeah.
It's
an asshole move.
Yeah, it's an asshole move.
I considered putting, and I don't know, it'll be official on the next show, but.
But you know what? How about the people?
Steve Jobs did not treat his cancer with traditional medicine.
Right.
And he used alternative medicine. And died and left this giant company without a. He could be considered.
Same thing with Jim Henson, who was one of my all-time favorite artists.
Right.
He didn't go to the hospital with pneumonia because he was a stupid Christian Scientist, and ruined it.
I can't believe that when someone like that, when that's how you know. I don't even know how to say
you can
this.
Say
I get
it.
So
if it's
frustrated.
Awful, it's okay.
No. That's how you know that there are no secret immortality pills.
Right.
When a guy that rich doesn't have
When it. Steve Jobs dies or the Pope dies,
there's
no way to get out of it.
There really isn't.
There's really no way to get out.
Yeah.
And people are like, no.
But you know what?
But you know,
he might have had that opportunity, though, but he was looking for it in the wrong place.
Who says there's a way to get out of it?
No, because if...
If he would have treated his cancer early enough with traditional medicine...
I don't
John,
know.
Your mood is green right now.
Oh, it's changing. What does that mean?
It's getting a little... I don't know.
You want me to look? What color is the mood right now?
It's a yellowish green to me.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. A yellow... I'm going to look this up.
But here's the thing. If there was a... beetle dung pill in the remote Chilean mountains.
Sure. George Harrison wouldn't have died.
Steve Jobs would have been eating them. He would have been eating them like M&M's.
Mm-hmm. All right, Corey. John, I have it. You are now restless.
Oh.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, it is. It's getting green,
well,
too.
You're about ready to get
What's
out
green?
Of here.
What is,
about time
green is normal and average.
Oh, look. It's going,
although
it's,
this thing doesn't have blue on it, and you were blue before.
Oh, and it's going kind of orangey red
it's
now.
It's got blue in the right
orangey
corner.
Orangey red is daring or stimulating.
Oh.
Blue is in the top right corner.
I don't know. Well, that's not dark blue, though.
Okay.
That's more of a calm, relaxed, lovable light blue. But you would have been maybe between these fear, uncertain, and calm.
Yes.
And now you're into restless and normal. I don't know.
Well, he was at the post office.
Just tell us where you were. He just had a toffee fay. That can change your mood right there.
The thing about the post office, it does scare me when and things like an election, because this dipshit got elected in Troy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody knew what she was really about.
No, it's because people just vote.
Yeah, they didn't know. And you know what? Honestly, I said this. I live in Troy. The stuff came into my mailbox every day. If you could tell me what those candidates were about, I swear. Because it's all like, I like puppies and sunshine and happy days, and I think that we should make a better community with stronger families in Troy. All of them. None of them said a damn thing about
what. So you would have known this woman was anti-gay.
You know what I mean? If I knew she was a Tea Party.
I have issues with the Michigan gay community.
Well, here's my... Uh-oh. Let me give my...
Because they slipped something in his drink.
Let me give my thoughts. First of all, this whole thing with this hearing, and I yelled at Corey on the phone about this, and I said, look, here's my point. These people, this woman, the mayor, she didn't try to invoke any sort of anti-gay policy. There was nothing officially done. She posted on her Facebook before she was even elected to the office.
Right.
Okay. So my feeling is that, okay, you're upset with her, and that's fine, but basically your feelings, the people, to the protesters, their feelings were hurt by this woman's comments. So they went down to City Hall basically to hurt her feelings.
Right.
And I'm going, what a waste of fucking time. It's not anything that is official city business. So are we really, why are we doing this?
Well, you know, a lot of people made points. They weren't.
Were upset, and I understand that.
You know, I have to say, though, I went to the meeting, and the people that spoke were fairly eloquent, most of them, in that they made points like, this is not helping attract business to the city. It's not helping the reputation of the city.
Okay.
One guy said that it makes it more difficult in the school system if the mayor says something like that, and the school is under state rules that they have to enforce the no bullying policy, and the mayor sets the template. So people came out and they were not just like, you're me jerky jerk. They didn't. Now, maybe they did later. Now, in the middle of all this, one old guy got
the people
up
on the news
and
were
bitched about the potholes.
Right.
In the middle of a
which
raging,
is why, which is
the
why,
valid concern.
Which is, that's what I say. I say that's the guy you should have at the city council meeting, because it's not a place to just go and insult the mayor. I mean, as much as I know why people were upset, if you're upset with what she said on Facebook, you say it back on Facebook, and that's as far as it needs to go.
Right, or you email the person.
Why are you protesting? It just doesn't make sense to me.
That's the same.
Why protest?
I'm with Joel on this, because it's the same.
You're free to protest, but
Joel doesn't even vote.
I completely vote. But fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about.
You told me you didn't vote.
When did I say that?
You told me that a couple years ago.
I didn't say that. You're full
here's
shit.
The thing.
I said I did not vote. I did not vote for the presidency a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
I chose not to vote for president, but I voted for the local offices and the statewide offices.
There is something.
I didn't want to vote for either Obama or the asshole Republican.
Okay.
I didn't want to vote there.
Okay. It's all about posturing.
Yes.
It's all about making yourself more important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you can go and protest the mayor.
Yeah.
But you can send her an email, too.
Exactly.
And let her know that you don't want
it. Right.
It's this time of year that makes me fucking crazy when you see celebrities who are like, you know what? They get on Twitter and they're like, if you buy my shirt, 50% of the proceeds will go to children. And then at the end of the month, they're like, thanks to your donations, we're going to give $100,000 to children.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for buying my shit.
Yeah.
And then I'll give some of it to children. If people want to donate to a charity, give them all $20.
All right.
Don't give them 10 and get a t-shirt of fucking Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Right?
That
happens. And then Bieber, but here's the thing about self-promotion. Then Bieber gets on and says, I bought all these fucking toys. I'm going to give $100,000 in your guys' donations to this group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could have fucking done it without you.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're promoting yourself by showing how awesome you are by getting other people to donate to a charity.
Right, right.
I fucking hate it. It drives me nuts.
It's bad.
You know what? You know what charities I donate to?
What's that?
I'll never fucking tell you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. Sure.
Never. Because
it's not
my
fucking
business, and that's what I do.
It's your money.
And it's, and it's what I'm doing.
You know, people got on Steve Jobs for that.
Go ahead. You talk.
No, people got on Steve Jobs because he was not apparently as philanthropic as, some of his peers.
I just want you to just handle those. Just go ahead, Corey.
But I will say that when someone does advertise what they,
John doesn't. John knows what it is now,
what's
right?
What's going on? Yeah. Doing a trick. All right.
That's good though, right? I got one of those. These are great, right?
There you go.
No, okay. Wacky. Corey, nothing like a Corey wacky inside visual joke in the middle of a radio show.
We're going to broadcast our magician's meeting. What do you think of that?
That's a good one.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay, what do you got?
Look at this.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. What does your mood ring say about it, Dana?
Dark purple.
Dark purple?
Your mood changed. Oh, my God.
It's probably a combination of clarity, sensual, and stress, nervous, tense.
It's me.
I will say one thing that was kind of weird about the Troy City Council meeting. They were clearly not prepared for all the people that showed up, which is stupid because they should have known it was coming. And they had about 12 cops there, which was ridiculous.
How much time do we have left?
We got hours left.
Whatever you want.
Hours.
How long
do you need to go?
How long have we been going?
An hour, roughly.
Let me say this. Because I said it earlier, and I wanted to get back to it. I have an issue with the gay community. Not the gay community, but the heads of the gay community.
The heads.
Okay.
The shafts you're like fine
I,
with.
When I ran for
mayor. But the heads.
I've talked about this before. I think maybe you have on this show. Okay. When I ran for mayor, I was the only gay-friendly candidate.
Yeah.
I was the only one who supported the LGBT community and the Triangle Foundation.
And I would think that's a big deal in the city of Royal Oak.
They did not endorse me.
No.
They
Why
endorsed
not?
A guy. Well, they endorsed
because they didn't
a guy,
think you were going to win.
They didn't think I was going to win. Well, so they endorsed a guy who hated them and wasn't for their policies on the chance that if he did win, they could talk him into switching sides.
Ugh. Yeah. That's...
So they went against their own ideals.
Yeah, they have they claim to have convictions, but they really don't.
They don't. They're like any other fucking group.
They're trying to align themselves with a winner.
Okay, here's my other thing, too. That I got in my brain now. You got me fired up.
Go ahead.
Right? You know the It Gets Better campaign?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to start working on that.
Because they say, if you're getting bullied, don't worry, it gets better.
Yeah, someone's got to...
If you're a gay teenager.
I was bullied all through school.
I was too.
Okay? And someone needs to... Seriously. I mean, think maybe I need to start it.
Okay.
But someone needs to start
bullying gay teens. I think we should.
No. Someone needs to start the same thing. I believe that it's a good start. But what you need to do is you need to be fucking honest with kids.
Right.
And you need to tell them, it gets different.
Right.
You know, this shit is, you're going to, there's one way or another, you're going to be bullied throughout your life, probably.
I have a problem with the term bullying.
And you need, things get fucking weird. How's that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm John Tenney, and all through high school, I was bullied and shoved into lockers, and my head was cracked open, and people fucking chased me home, and I had to run into a stranger's house one time to keep from getting beat up.
Right.
And it was a fucking disaster, and people beat my ass because I kissed their girlfriend. They want fags kissing their girlfriend, which doesn't make any fucking sense in the world. And now it doesn't happen.
But it's fucking different. Your drink now.
It's fucking different.
Put something Slippy a Mickey at Halloween.
Yeah. But now a boss at a job that you kind of don't like makes you do a bunch of shit that you hate under threat of being fired.
Yeah.
And so it just gets fucking different. You're not going to get your head smashed in, but your soul and your heart is going to be fucking crushed and destroyed. Your dreams are going
to
die.
Or you got to go to a Indian casino in northern Michigan in the middle of February.
Called the Island.
To tell jokes to old senior citizens.
In the middle of a hailstorm.
Or when a comedy booker books you into a club that he's promoting, draws three people, and then tells you you're not funny because it wasn't a great comedy show.
I spilled onions this fucking thing today.
Mmm, delicious onions.
I made onions and potatoes for breakfast.
You know what's weird about onions? They can be the most incredible thing or the worst.
Oh.
If you probably caramelize an onion, it's great. Like an onion on a...
I just like a raw... The only time I really like onions is just a slice of onion on a fucking hamburger.
That's what you like.
Yeah.
But that is because it is mixing, it is enhancing the flavor of the beef.
Okay, if I get a if you get a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and you get the grilled onion, you get the slightly caramelized onions, terrific. The Coney, they put the raw onion right on top.
The chopped cold onions
makes
on top
me,
of that.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
I see what you're saying. It's a lot of that is texture.
Because your whole mouth is onion flavor for the rest of the
day. I agree with you.
It's bad. Onions are... One of our friends called onions nature's candy at one point, but she's a freak.
We're going to talk about movies with Corey. Can you stick around for that?
Are we going to see
any movies, or do you not have any thoughts on them?
I don't think I've seen anything.
What are your thoughts on this real quickly before we move along? Because this is my new...
I saw Captain America.
This is my newest thing.
All right.
This is the Kindle, the new Kindle. Yeah. How do you feel about that? John's very old school.
Not one way or another. I'll eventually have one.
Yes.
Or something to that effect.
I
can't carry my books around with me.
There's a lot. Lot of books.
Yeah, a lot of books.
Yes.
And I think it's, it's a tool.
It's a tool, exactly.
And that's all it's meant to be.
It.
It's not meant to replace books.
Well, but one thing I like about it is that
I know that that's what people think.
It's doing it.
Corey thinks it is.
Well, that's just because there's a general fucking crappy dumbness to the fucking world right now. People are just fucking stupid.
Well,
the general population are fucking morons.
Well, that's true.
And and give an example as it relates to Kindle.
I'll give an example as it relates to technology.
Technology.
We now live in a society where millions of fucking people are connected through computer systems.
We are.
Which are designed to make sure that you spell shit right.
Correct.
Nobody can fucking spell.
It's impossible.
If you have a computer that's been made in the past 5 years, whenever you type anything, no matter what program you're in, it underlines the misspelled word.
Even the web browser now.
Even the web browser.
My smartphone has spell check.
Yes.
You know what helps you learn to spell?
Reading.
Right. The other thing, writing words on a piece of paper.
Yeah, and here's the other thing.
And the problem is they're not making kids do that as much.
When you see a commercial, it's not a fucking advancement that a mom can hold an iPad up in front of her daughter and she can press red and then with her finger make a red flower on a screen.
Right.
That's not teaching them to be fucking creative. Being creative is learning how to mix the fucking color red with a paintbrush.
No.
Learning your color chart and your color fucking wheel with a crayon and coloring and blending and using the totality, the combinatorial system that is the amazing human mind and body.
I'm just setting off the chattering teeth one more time.
Joel's giving the light. Well,
no,
look, I did not like school. I don't think you like school particularly much.
No, I hated it.
I hated school too.
We're 3 for 3. And I tend to find the more creative, the more interesting, the smarter someone is, the less they like school. And when we went to school, we were still stuck in the remnants of the 20th century industrialized mechanistic education system in which they were basically training you to work in a factory.
Right.
Now that we've gotten all the factory jobs and given them to Mexicans, what are they teaching kids now? They're not even teaching them the same system.
Look, go online, try and find at some point examples of what a freshman in high school's handwriting looks like. You'll be fucking shocked.
Is it awful?
Shocked.
My handwriting's bad.
It looks like a 7-year-old.
Yeah. I can see they're not probably handwriting very much stuff anymore.
One of the favorite things.
Learn how to write your fucking name so you can sign it on the bottom of fucking contracts and on your cell phone bill and shit like that and other things we're going to charge you fucking money for. And then you'll never have to ever use a pencil or a pen ever fucking again.
I'll be honest. When I write out checks, sometimes I forget the cursive letter. I'm like, I don't even do a capital cursive S.
Every day I write something.
Do you?
Yes, every day.
Mm-hmm. I take notes in the movies, but I don't.
Here's my notes for today's show.
Yeah. Written out. Look at how fucking childlike that is.
I said my handwriting's always been bad.
That's...
I write a lot.
What about...
None of this is helping John's argument. I went to college, John.
Okay, and now kids are texting stuff, right? It's all texting.
You know, in my field, what I do is a very strange field because it deals with ghosts and UFOs and shit like that. But here's the thing.
It's a field, Joel.
I ask. It is a field. It's a my specialized field.
Often it happens in
and
a
field.
And
here's the thing.
It's often in a
here's
field where you and yokels run around.
Here's where Here's where I get so mad is because what Corey just did.
I'm making fun of you.
No. What Corey just did is an accurate depiction. When I ask someone, Joel,
yes,
let's pretend that you believe in ghosts.
Right.
Okay?
Let's pretend.
Okay. Now, if I ask you, now you're pretending.
Joel's pretending to be interested in this podcast right now.
Joel's pretending, but I want
he's
him
really
to,
interested
I
in that
want him
chocolate
to, I know.
Coin.
It's a Canadian dollar. Go ahead.
Do we have to take everything the Jews?
What?
Yeah. I saw gold coins with like Santa stickers on them the other day.
And the chocolate actually is embossed with the Canadian.
Well, that's nice.
So.
I don't even fucking forget it.
All right, what are you? No, you're talking about the
No. I'm just talking about if I ask you, like, what happens? Okay, so you think a ghost is trapped in the fucking house?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. right?
If I did. I'm right. assuming
what happens when the house burns fucking down?
Mm-hmm. Where'd the ghost go?
Where is he still there?
I don't know.
Okay, then that's the here's you have people who say that they're specialists in this field, and that's their answer when I ask them the question.
Right.
I don't know. Wait, you haven't fucking thought this through?
They have some theory.
Yeah.
We think the ghost stays.
Does it stay there? Well, it's on the property. Well, what happens if you dig the fucking property up?
Right.
Well, it stays in that general area. What happens in 8 fucking billion years when the planet blows up? Does it just float in space?
What if they bulldoze the whole neighborhood and make it a Walmart? Is the ghost still in the Walmart?
Think through your fucking concept.
Yeah, I agree.
And people don't do it on any level. Right. It's easy for me to see, because I was saying, it's easy for me to do in this field because it's a speculative field.
You have to have some answers.
Here's one of the reasons I think Joel and I are disbelievers, or at least where I am a disbeliever. Ghosts are a representation. You're talking about people. It's about self-aggrandizement, why people go into politics. They want to be big and famous. Now, keep in mind, Joel and I and you are entertainers on a certain level, and they're trying to get fame and attention. So I'm full of shit. But the ghost is the ultimate ego trip in that someone says, I will continue. I will exist forever. I will become spectral energy. And that ghosts are a denial of death. And I think to that it's sort of silly.
I agree. But expert, to John's point...
And that's why dumb people go, well, I'm just going to be a ghost when I die.
But here's the problem with ghost hunters and any of these people. And John, you have... The problem is this. People who want to ask questions. You are a skeptic. I don't know if you're considered a skeptic. You're really not. You are a skeptic. It's funny. You're a paranormal investigator and a skeptic at the same time.
Absolutely.
But you can't just ask questions. You can't ask a question and get another question as an answer. You haven't settled anything. You have to have some answers.
Right.
And you have to be definitive. And even though people may say, well, they may challenge your answer and say, well, how do you know? How do you know? And, you know, people that just choose to believe things. People that choose
someone
to have more
Facebook,
questions about
someone on Facebook
things.
Said, because I have a lot of those people that follow me.
Okay.
Someone on Facebook said, what would you do if you were a ghost?
Yeah.
Right? And I wrote, I was the first person on it.
Yeah.
And I said, my conscious existence would be blown out on the fact that I exist in a new form in a different, separate reality.
Yeah.
And then I put, I bet a lot of people are going to say spy on people.
Yeah.
And within, like, I don't know, my, you know, 72 comments later of I would spy on people.
Right. Right.
What it's, I would, it's, you know, mind
if I,
blowing.
I, you would be sort of like, be, if you became a ghost, you'd be like, where'd my dick go? Where do I?
I would
know,
be like, holy
where's
shit.
Where's my fucking.
If holy I, fuck, no, this is a whole different fucking reality. I'm just, I have no idea.
If I was a ghost, I would go to a co-ed college and hang out in the shower room.
I'd pull someone's
there
shirt.
Must have been movies about that in the
80s,
I'd right?
mess up someone's hair.
Right.
I'd knock a can off a shelf.
Yeah.
I'd wait for someone to ask me, are you here? And I'd say, yes.
Did you see Paranormal Activity 3?
No, fucking, I hate those fucking movies.
All right, let me tell you about Paranormal Activity 3. It's the most satisfying, annoying, stupid movie I've ever seen. In that it really works on the basic level of,
ooh!
Like,
yeah, there's,
which,
I mean,
which that
human
gives
beings
you an
love to be startled. It's gives, an endorphin release.
It does give an autonomic response. And that movie really milks that. But that movie... The ghost basically spends the whole movie. The whole thing is about they'll give static shots. It's like they have static camcorder shots of a room, and the room, and it'll you'll wait for about 3-4 minutes, and then this will go.
Yeah,
and when they'll go away and they'll come back and that'll have moved one. And you got it's like playing Where's Waldo.
I have hundreds of hours of footage like that I've filmed.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't need to see a movie about.
And I'll be like. If the ghost is just going to fuck with me by moving a flashlight, that's really an annoying ghost. I don't want any part of that ghost.
Right.
How are those gummy lifesavers?
They're pretty good.
How's the chocolate gold coins?
The chocolate gold coins are interesting, but not the most flavorful.
Waxy?
These are good.
Are they
waxy?
Do
you want these?
I have
these.
One of those.
You have those. The chocolate coins are, you know.
Waxy.
They're not the most rich chocolate you'll ever get. Godiva did not manufacture the gold coin.
I'm going to have to smoke soon, so talk.
Okay. Movies, Smoking Corey. Up. You're talking about movies? I mean,
well,
it's award season, and we're going to do a top 10 movies probably in January. We'll go through that. And you're compiling your list for the newspaper right now. But
sure.
I saw, speaking of Oscar bait, and something that's going to be on a lot of top 10 lists, is I saw Hugo.
Yeah.
And enjoyed that. I don't know if you've seen Hugo. about a little. It's based
Robot Man.
No, it's based on a graphic novel, I believe, mm-hmm. where a boy lives in a train station
with a robot, you know,
and he operates the clocks. There's an automaton, and
I'm going to say this: don't spoil Hugo because.
I don't.
I went in it with very little
knowledge. You didn't know
knowledge.
Anything. Yeah, yeah.
I did not know anything.
I'm not going to give away the big twist.
And you both liked it?
What amazes me is people are like, did you read the book? And I'm like, no, I didn't read a fucking
And you both liked it.
I didn't read a fucking children's book.
I mean, I thought that was terrific. And it was in 3D, which was very good 3D.
I was not as over the moon about the story, but I thought the 3D was excellent.
Yeah.
It used 3D in a good, in a positive right. way.
Because they'll just do 3D where, like, they'll just put, like, a railing in the foreground. Mm. And it really adds that much more depth to it. It's amazing.
I gotta say,
that it's very
machine
simple.
Works are really good in 3D. Yeah, the clock's moving.
Because he operates the clocks at a train station. Goes
are you ready for Great Gatsby in 3D?
Oh, yeah. That's
is that coming
good.
In 3D?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Anyway. But Hugo's real good. I mean.
There was an all-black cast Gatsby movie called G that I was maybe one of four people that saw.
Yeah.
It was amazingly bad.
Yeah, but go see Hugo. If you would like Hugo, I think. There's a lot of things.
Go to a matinee.
You like? Well, see it whenever. I paid $13 to see it on
Holy
Thanksgiving.
Shit.
It was Thanksgiving night.
Do you have a job?
Yeah, I'm a comedian, professional stand-up comedian. I do gigs all the time.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like when I tell people I'm a professional paranormal investigator.
Well, I'm a professional landlord.
I never have
I'm a professional stand-up comedian.
Professional landlord.
I'm a professional.
I've never looked in Joel's tub, but I'm thinking something's going on.
What are you talking about?
I think a little Breaking Bad's going on here. I think there's a little bit of...
Yeah, I'm slipping roofies in guys' drinks. It was you! It was me!
You're the bastard! That was the ghost from Paranormal Activity. Slipped a roofie in your drink.
But
literally, 5-minute long shot, and then you wait for the lamp to fall over. And you're just sons of bitches.
Well, I liked Hugo. I haven't seen a lot of this other Oscar bait movies that are coming out.
I saw
My Week with Marilyn,
thing.
Which we talked about briefly. That was good, if you like that kind of crap. Corey, go ahead. I'll turn it over to you.
We're going to do a more in-depth show about the movies of the year. And
we'll
pick
talk
a top
about
10.
The best movies.
But I'm in a film critics. I'm in the Detroit Film Critics Society, which is very prestigious. We're right ahead of Akron. And
right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're playing the same venues as John Tenney's Weird Lecture.
Right,
that's right.
Right ahead.
I think they're two sharing venues.
The Jacksonville, Florida Film Critics.
Oh, you guys, they're right in there.
No, actually, there's only probably a dozen film critic societies in America, right. And we're still the 11th biggest market, so it's a pretty cool thing to be in. But yesterday I watched movies all day. We watched a billion movies. We bought a zoo from Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
I will just say this. I've never hated Neil Young more than when it's in a Cameron Crowe movie. The big standout was The Artist, which was really... I'm not supposed to comment on the films. It's ridiculous.
Right.
The Artist is really a spectacular and we're seeing... And I hate silent movies.
Okay.
But I really do. I hate silent movies. People tell me all the time, oh, well, they don't believe me when I say I hate silent movies. They're like, you're a film critic. How can you hate silent movies? I'm like, you watch that shit.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
But Buster Keaton.
There's
Oh, shove it.
There's a half dozen silent movies that everyone loves, and no one remembers the thousands and thousands of silent movies that don't even exist anymore because they were shot on nitrate film,
right.
And they all dissolved to
gone.
Dust. Yeah. People don't remember the fucking bullshit people had to watch. So, I mean,
there were. Yeah, and they would crank out movies.
Remember Tom Mix when it was a spaceman that one time? No, we found a postcard of it on Antiques Roadshow.
Again,
it's the only thing that exists from that film.
They invented sound, and there was no need. It's an antiquated format. It's a format that doesn't need to exist. This is why I'm resistant to the Kindle, but someday people will look back at books and go, well, that was foolish. Why did you?
People will always have books.
People always have books, and I have tons of books.
Always.
And I will continue to buy books.
Okay.
When it is appropriate.
Now,
but here's the thing. Here's
I will
the thing
say is, this. People have gone back to albums because they feel vinyl was the superior format. Not a soul. It laments the tape.
Yeah, no one wants cassette tapes.
No. But I'll tell you what. When I say that people will always have books, I mean that they will always have them in the sense that they don't have them now. If you go to estate sales, it is uncommon to find more than 50 books in a house.
Right.
People just don't have books.
Hmm.
I mean, when you have more than 100 or 200 books,
like
you're
us.
In the minority.
Yeah.
When you're a freak like you and me?
Yeah, you're in the minority. Yeah. You know?
I have hundreds of books.
Yeah, I have a lot. But we are not normal. Most people don't. Most people read paperbacks and throw them away.
That's true.
Or they maybe go to the library. A lot of people don't even do that anymore.
I've seen most of John's books, but I've never actually been into your upstairs or your bedroom, so I don't even know what goes on up there.
And there's a storage space that's full of books.
Yeah. I have boxes in my basement full of books from the last time I moved.
That's crazy.
That never found their way
to
a shelf.
John and I never make it to the bedroom.
You never do. You're always doing it on
the passion is so strong.
What's out right now that I should see aside from Hugo?
Well, go ahead.
Did you set up the karaoke machine?
No.
Okay. The Descendants with George Clooney. Terrific.
I don't even know what that's about, but everyone says go see it.
It's Alexander Payne, the guy who does it.
Is he ever going to come out?
Clooney?
Alexander
Clooney.
About come out what? Gay?
Yeah.
I don't think he's gay.
I think that would be a shock to the hundreds of women he's banged. That would probably... The supermodel tail that's bounced off his dick for the last 2 decades... Probably would be stunned.
I get that vibe off him.
I've heard that before, but
you get the vibe that any single actor in show business is gay.
Yeah.
And Joel reads me these blind items all the time.
I read you that great Tom Cruise one recently.
But one of the guys mentioned in it, I've met personally.
I understand that.
Talked about chicks with.
I understand.
Had a couple beers with. Yeah. And to my knowledge, is not gay. Yeah. So don't believe everything you read.
Yeah.
But
I'm not saying I'm throwing it out there. Somebody's reporting.
You know, there's rumors that Rick Perry is gay.
Okay.
And they're the Republican presidential candidate. They throw him out about everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means nobody's gay.
Nobody's gay.
Corey's, you know what I mean? There's rumors about everybody, but that means they're all straight.
No, just the battle-hardened diesel dykes that showed up to the Troy City Council. Those were some gay women. That was some rough, big-knuckled chicks.
Well, anyway,
And I say that with all the affection in my heart. I really do. You know what was really cute? The baby gays that were there?
The baby gay. Oh, there's little babies.
I thought that was a new movie.
Yeah. The baby gays.
Baby gays! It's going to be right after Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's
going
to be on E.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they made another one.
Here's the great thing. Okay, God. So
the fucking Chipmunks again.
There's another Chipmunk movie.
So I've been...
Shipwrecked.
In the last 3 weeks, I've watched a large amount of the Oscar-nominated sort of film, the potential Oscar nominees, the awards films, the real heavyweight quality films in the last 5 weeks. That is only, it's like in Michigan where you get a warm day where it's like 60 degrees in November. What's on the other end of that? A cold front.
Right.
You're like, oh, it's really nice today. That's because a giant storm is pushing a hot air pocket.
Right. Sliding an ice cube across the continent.
I'm heading face first into an encounter with Catherine Heigl. Next month. I'm going to get a bunch of that garbage.
You're going to be watching the worst movies.
The January movies are as bad as anything in the world.
How was the Muppets?
Muppets was actually pretty good.
Didn't see Muppets.
Muppets was enjoyable. What is good? I don't know. Movies suck.
I'm planning on seeing some other stuff before the year's out. So, but I don't see. I'm not a guy who sees
some of my favorite movies.
I haven't been to a movie theater in a year and a half.
Okay. Well, then
some of my favorite movies came out earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
50-50 was.
I have sort of a top 10 list that I'm keeping in.
Win-win.
Adam Sandler film.
And a lot of it is.
There was a debate in the Detroit Film Critics Society whether we would nominate him as best actor or best actress for Jack and Jill.
Wow.
He could do either one. It's very amazing
a fucking disaster that guy is.
Yeah, he's terrible.
There's a little preview.
I saw a good movie on video. I don't know if it's going to be eligible for a best film, but. You anyone seen The Last Circus? Do you know what that is, Corey?
What is The Last Circus?
It is a Spanish movie.
Oh, I know
what Spanish
you're talking
about. It's a Spanish revenge movie
about
clowns.
Yeah, I saw a preview
I watched
for
it
that.
Last night
is
on
it good?
Blu-ray. It's crazy.
Did you love
it's
it?
It's great.
All right.
Now, listen, my girlfriend's not here to tell you how great it's not.
Okay.
But I'm telling you it's great.
I'll watch it.
I bet she didn't
I
like
saw,
it.
It's weird.
I saw a preview for that, and it looked
it's
fucking dark.
Visually amazing.
It's dark, right?
It's cool.
All right.
It's really cool. I mean, I could stay. I mean, it's like, it's really cool.
Right. It's like Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, it's from Magnet Releasing.
How does it stack up?
It was like Moulin Rouge with dancing.
No. You're wrong.
Like the Romeo and Juliet.
It is closer to like, it's like Kill Bill with Spanish clowns.
Wow.
Sort of.
How does it stack up to the amazing Hobo with a Shotgun?
I have not seen Hobo with a Shotgun. But I guarantee you that this movie, because I sort of read a description of it online and I said, I'll rent this from Netflix. Because my girlfriend likes horror movies and I don't. Right. And I go, well, here's like a foreign horror movie, so it'll be cool. But it wasn't horror like a slasher film, like was what she likes. this was more like phantasmagoria sort of, you know what I mean? How do right. I describe it? It's just like, it was weird.
Just fucking bizarre.
It was weird and gory.
Well,
scary at times, but it's really cool.
You did it. You saw one I didn't see.
The Last Circus, yeah. But you know what? That film probably never got a theatrical release in the States, or if it did, it was in New
York.
Where
the fuck did I see a preview
The Last Circus. It's out on Blu-ray and DVD.
I saw the preview for that in a theater somewhere.
So yeah, you went and
I watched jacked up Korean horror like I saw The Devil.
Sure.
And I still did not hear The Last Circus.
Let me find out where The Last Circus played.
Probably no one. Probably nowhere for no one. There was a movie called Take Shelter, okay, that stars Michael Shannon. Who's going to be in the new Superman
movie.
Oh,
I wanted to see that film.
That movie is awesome. You would love it, John.
I know I would
it's
love
a guy
it.
Who,
I wanted to
it's
see
It's a guy
that.
Who, like, loses his mind.
And can convince the world's ending.
He thinks there's an apocalyptic storm coming, and he builds a storm shelter.
You know what? Michael Shannon is a great fucking actor.
He's a terrific actor. That's a great movie. I'm going to nominate him. In
Michael Shannon, great on Boardwalk Empire. Have you seen Boardwalk on HBO?
I haven't.
Terrific. Best show on TV.
Have you seen him in this?
Two seasons in.
Have you ever seen this weird fucking movie he did, which was a stage play called Bug?
Did
you see the movie make of that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
But see,
movie.
I see wacky stuff all the time.
The Last Circus debuted at the Venice Film Festival in 2010.
Well, there you go.
And I don't even know what it made or anything.
It got a 6.5.
What was an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What was the name of that fucking movie in England that Uma Thurman did that made like $12?
Oh, you know.
Is that what you would have seen it on?
No, I'm just asking.
Oh, I don't know.
What was that terrible movie called?
I can't remember. Apparently,
it's called like Mommy's Day or something like that. And it's like the lowest grossing film of all time.
The lowest grossing film of all time was called Zizak's Road.
Oh, that's a Tom Sizemore film.
It's a Tom Sizemore movie.
Yeah.
And contractually, they had to put it in a theater. They
right.
put it in one theater in Dallas during matinees.
Right.
And it made like $33,000, which was considered the worst movie of all time. But,
It was released, The Last Circus was released on April 20th. It debuted at the Nashville Film Festival. And played in Toronto on September 30th of this year. So it very slowly. I'm guessing this thing just never went theatrical in the States.
Right.
There was a good. There
so
was,
it's out on DVD.
There was
now.
A really
it's been out on DVD.
There's a really good article.
But it's worth seeing. The last
maybe I saw it as a trailer on a DVD. Yeah.
There was a really good article in Entertainment Weekly about Star's Biggest Bombs.
Yeah, I got
because a lot of those movies were ones I hadn't even heard of.
Yeah.
And had not gotten released and shelved, and stuck on. You know,
there's movies that never come out.
Yeah.
People make them and they.
There's
never
a lot
seen.
Of movies. There's a movie called Margaret. With Anna Paquin, mm-hmm. that they shot about 4 years ago, before she did True Blood, before she
It'll
got
just
famous.
Never come out.
It came out finally, but it took them like 4.5 years, maybe 5 years. It's really off-putting because they talk a lot about 9/11, like you know, like it was still a fresh topic or something in 2004.
Didn't it take years for them to release Theodore Rex?
It might have even limped out what it did. The Whoopi Goldberg movie with the talking dinosaur.
Right. Oh.
That's one of the stinkiest shit stains that'll ever happen to anybody. That is really bad. I mean, I've seen Pluto Nash, which is...
What's the one with Owen Wilson?
Which one?
It's just the name of the film is his name.
Ooh.
And he's like the picture of him karate kicking.
Drill Bit Taylor.
Wow.
But wasn't that written... that was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg,
was
I
it?
Believe. Yeah.
No, it was written by John Hughes.
No.
No, John Hughes was dead by then.
No, I think you're wrong.
John Hughes was dead by
I
then.
Believe that was Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, no?
Okay, Seth Rogen.
It's been rewritten many times, but Rogen and...
Hey, have either of you ever seen the...
John Hughes.
Story
by John
screenplay
Hughes.
By Seth Rogen.
Wrote it
Go fuck yourself.
He wrote
I'm
it before
right.
he died. He
Story
wrote it before
by
he died.
John
he
Hughes.
Wrote
right.
it before he died.
But Seth Rogen wrote the movie.
Okay, but they were...
Fine,
both,
fair
you're
enough.
You're both fucking right. You're both fucking right. You're both right.
I will throw a chocolate quarter.
That's a Christmas court. Present being used as a weapon now.
No, it's a gift. No, but they were both worked on the script.
Okay, very good.
And you know what? All that talent.
Nothing.
Garbage movie.
I'm telling you, the January movies are the worst movies in the world.
Yeah.
Put out.
Did you just say The January Man is one of the worst films?
That's a bad movie with Kevin Kline.
January movies.
January Man.
John, what's the worst movie you ever saw in a movie theater?
Oh, my God. I wasn't prepared for that.
God, I've seen so many bad movies.
I walked out a little Nicky. I did. I couldn't fucking take that voice.
So we went to a barbecue once at one of Amy's friends.
Yeah.
And this is one of her good friends who we hang out with all the time.
Okay.
But the husband of one of her husband's friend, they were sitting around drinking beers, and he started talking about how Little Nicky was the best movie ever.
Oh, my God. It's a fucking... I couldn't take it.
And I had sat there for about 2 hours and played along very nice.
Yeah.
I was playing croquette with the little kids. Yeah. Like, I was trying croquet. Excuse me.
Croquette. Fair enough.
Croquette's a meat-stuffed treat. but, you know, I was, like, trying to avoid talking to this moron, and he started talking about how Little Nicky was the best movie ever. And I finally just went, do you know what a movie is? Do you like movies? How could anyone like that? I lost my shit, finally. Yeah. Awful.
Yeah, Sandler makes them bad. I remember walking out years ago. I walked out of Lethal Weapon 4.
All right.
I think it was, and just went like, what the fuck is this? And I liked Lethal Weapon up until that
point. There's only been two movies that I've walked out on.
Yeah.
One was Little Nicky.
Okay.
And the other was Mallrats.
Really?
Yeah.
Mallrats is not good. It's
walked out.
If you saw Clerks, you were disappointed in it at the time.
I just walked out of it.
There are people that are Mallrats
fans. I walked out of Mallrats and went and saw Seven.
Okay, well, that's
you upgraded.
You traded up there.
That was the best decision I've ever made.
Seven was
at
good,
that time.
It's over for Kevin Smith, isn't it? It's pretty much over for him.
Oh, my God, he's a disaster.
Yeah,
well, he's got the Smodcast Network.
Well, speaking of podcasts.
Which is where Jay Moore is. Oh.
You don't, you're not a fan of that?
What?
The Kevin Smith podcast?
No.
All right.
Yeah, we could rank some more podcasts. We could do your whole podcast. We could do a new your podcast sucks.
Jay Moore, your podcast sucks.
We should really do that.
Anyway.
All right.
I think we're about to say goodnight. John, anything else you want to add here? It's been good to have you here.
John Tenney, johneltenney.com. That's for lectures and stuff.
Johneltenney.com and weirdlectures.com?
Weirdlectures.com. Okay. Realmoftheweird.com. You can follow me on Twitter at johneltenney. Or my cat, at Paranormal Cat.
I thought Corey said in order to get a hold of you, he had to find you on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yes. And it worked.
I left you at least two voicemail messages in the last week.
Yeah.
Those didn't get anywhere.
Phone
is
we
old
talked about that
it's
one
old
time.
Technology.
It's old tech.
It's always gone.
I'm on no Facebook.
More. Yes.
Twitter.
Yeah, we're friends on Facebook, so don't think I'm not going to.
I'm friends with Upchuck the Clown on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I guess I could hit you up on that. Then good. Upchuck the Clown is blowing up on Twitter.
He's got
3,600 friends.
Yeah, like as many as me.
A lot.
That's right.
If I
give you all of mine and you give me all of yours, we're both up to 6,000.
I've got none.
Well, you'll come on the new Psychopathic
and just
Radio.
Just blow that shit up.
Because we're going to be on video and you can bring some visual aids or something.
I've got next to no Twitter followers, so follow me.
What is your Twitter name?
At Corey Hall Comic.
At Corey Hall Comic. So there's Corey Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You can find him. What is the robot you got? I didn't see the robot.
You got a robot.
I got a nice little robot.
It's a little generic Japanese
kind of a
robot.
Gundam sort of robot.
Gundam. Yeah, that's
so
pretty
there
cool.
You go.
If you have me on in 6 months and I get done all of the shit I'm working on, it's gonna blow your fucking
all right,
mind.
I'm gonna
documentaries.
I'll probably book
three
you
fucking books.
Are me and Corey still booked to be in a movie of yours?
Oh yeah, Brain
all right.
Demons.
And but when is
problem?
What was what I'm supposed
that
to
we're the opening
you?
Scene, Corey?
Listen, Brain Demons. The problem is I wrote the script thinking there'd be snow on the ground by now.
Oh. So we have to wait to shoot until.
Yes. I need
there
snow.
Was
I
snow
need...
on the ground yesterday morning.
For like a
no,
day.
But I need
and it's
snow,
all gone.
Snow because it says Michigan late winter.
Okay, so,
so everything,
piles of
it
snow.
It needs to be snow everywhere.
Piles of snow, okay.
But then I'm doing this documentary and I need both of you to do kind of talking head shots.
Okay, well, we can do that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just let me know?
All right.
I'll try to fit you.
That's different from Brain
Demons. I'll squeeze you.
Brain Demons is going to blow people
Brain
out.
Brain Demons is something
blow
else.
Their
it's
minds.
Another project. But anyway. All right, John.
When you shoot it on in Barbaria.
Did you ever consider that? Are you going to do that?
No, I just thought of what I saw the fucking trailer for the Circus movie in front of.
The what movie? What's that?
I saw the movie Valhalla Rising.
Okay.
What is that?
Did you see that movie?
No.
What is Valhalla
Rising?
I love
when people see movies I haven't
Valhalla
seen.
Valhalla Rising is one of the best films I've seen this year. It's fucking incredible.
Really?
Yeah. I loved it.
You know what amazes me? I sit and watch movies about Peruvian miners.
Valhalla Rising.
Wait
a second. What do they give as the
The fan voting is 5.9 out of 10. But you need the summary of it?
Yeah.
1000 AD, for years, One Eye, a mute warrior of supernatural strength, has been held prisoner by the Norse chieftain Bard. Aided by R, a boy slave, One Eye slays his captor, and together he and R escape, beginning a journey into the heart of darkness.
Stop right there. If you read that, and then you expect to see that, you're going to be fucking disappointed.
Not
because it is
movie.
A fucking art movie.
It's a Viking movie.
No, it's an art movie. It's a fucking art
movie.
Well,
I see this guy is being, what is that going on there?
Oh, yeah. Well, here, all right. No, you'll watch
okay,
it.
Whatever,
watch
we'll
it. Watch it.
It
when you're high. You'll love
Valhalla
it.
Valhalla Rising, Valhalla released Rising. In 2009.
Yeah, it was a good film.
Stars Mads Mikkelsen. I'm guessing this is from Sweden or something.
He's the guy who played in a Casino Royale, the Daniel Craig. He played a one-eyed guy in Casino
Royale.
Oh,
in the poker game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a guy. That's a legitimate guy. I'm not saying.
All right. That's all I got.
All right. Anyway, John Tenney, thank you. Corey, anything to plug?
Yeah. You know, yesterday I did a local station here. I did AM 1270, which is a conservative station, oddly enough. But the morning guy, Charlie Langton, is a nice guy and a super nice guy. And they called me up and asked me to come on.
What is the 1270 format?
It's a talk station, but mostly it's syndicated talk. Like, I think on the weekend they have people that, you know, do home improvement shows.
What are the call letters
coast
for
to
that?
Coast.
It's WXYT AM 1270. Yeah. It used to be a talk station for years and years.
Yeah, because that was like a big...
And Mark Scott was on there. And okay. and
Excelsior!
Yeah, and then it became the sports station for a while.
Oh, okay.
And then the sports station moved to FM.
So
now they're bringing back the talk format.
Because for a while, weren't they simulcasting the sports on
they were.
Both?
Right.
Is it a Rush Hannity channel now?
Yeah, I think Glenn Beck was on after I left, which was weird for me. Yeah. But they
do coast to coast at night.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, it's a lot of syndicate talk, but they do have a morning show. They let me come on and do an hour yesterday. I did the whole I did four segments.
I let you do 2 hours. So
yeah. So wow. But if you go to CBSDetroit.com, look up Charlie Langton, you can podcast it, find my segments.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And tell him. Send him an email and tell him you want to hear me back on.
Tell him you want to hear Joel and John Tenney, and we'll all come on.
Yeah, we'll get John.
We'll redo this show, right, John?
John can search for ghosts in the studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. I want to thank John. I want to thank Corey. I want to thank Cam once again for his great... his great gift. I mean, you can't...
First of all, how do you find Toffee Fey in the Arctic Circle? And
He found a way.
I mean, an Inuit had to haul that on the back of a, snow leopard.
And he got it here in the mail that God knows how long that took, but...
He sent it last year.
He sent it sometime, yeah. It was a 2010 Christmas gift.
Happy Trails. Is that what this is? Is this the fucking MIDI version of Happy Trails?
This is sort of the same guy who made the theme. This is his sort of slow version.
They strapped that Toffee Fey to the back of a walrus and sent it south.
Well, that's why it tastes so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to Camp. Thanks to all of you for listening. Next show, The Assholes of the Year. Me and Corey will be back
with that.
So we'll catch us then. And hit us up. You can send us an email on the front page of joelradio.net. There's a little contact form. Fill that out or call 610-552-0746 and let us know what you think. We'll catch you next time, everybody. Good night.